Y'all heard?
One, two, three.
Hey,
everybody. This is
Y'all
Heard, a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
are not related. And this is a show where we, two humans,
check,
tell you guys, maybe like, at best, 57 humans, things you didn't know you needed to know.
She did not include the extraterrestrial population, which is in the thousands.
Yeah, oops, sorry. And I heard a lot of dogs listen to us, too.
Yes, definitely, to put your dogs to sleep.
In other words, what? Even though I think I said this already?
We tell you things you didn't know you needed to know.
This is my How Are You? Pete, guess what I am spending my time doing? When you said you needed a few minutes, I just spent about 4 minutes doing this thing.
I don't know.
Learning French.
Oh.
As you know.
So you fell in love with France.
Well, no, actually, no. France was fine. We went to London, but France for one day, and we went, yep, that's appropriate. France doesn't call to us, but I like trying to speak French. Did I speak French in France? No. However, Aaron did. However, did someone ask me for directions in French because I clearly looked so chic? Yes, that's right. They did.
And did you know anything to say back?
No, we said, Aaron said, we don't speak French in French. And then he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I should have started by asking that. Anyway, what I was going to say is, but we got Duolingo already. And sure, I could have pivoted to Spanish, the language of my people. The language of my aging grandmother who, when she's not paying attention, she slips into Spanish and I have to go, sorry, Abuela, can you re-say everything you just said in English? But I was like, no. So I'm learning French. And the only way I can sort of pronounce things right, which apparently not good enough because my husband laughs a lot, is if I do it really loudly. So
that's German.
This house is full of me just like so loudly. Saying un cheval et un chat like all day. So anyway, how are you? That was the dog and the cat and the cat.
Oh, you know, I never really remembered what dog was.
Did I say dog? I meant horse.
Okay.
The horse and the cat. I said that wrong. Oops, sorry.
Versus two favorite animals.
I will say I tried to learn French before I went to Paris, but for some reason the first two lesson blocks, I haven't gotten past that, of Duolingo, only talk about animals and eating various things. Not even, like, it doesn't give you any, like, phrases to use as a tourist. So I could, yes, it was useless. Anyway, okay, so how are you?
I'm okay. While Marissa was away and why we are a week late is because I was at my mom's. Just spending time outside, getting my hands dirty, doing some earth work.
Man work.
But for those of you who may not have realized it, and we don't really have like an alternate channel to sort of like blast out updates to everybody to keep them, you know, up to date on things. The enhanced games happened Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And so since we covered them previously and not that long ago, I figured some of the people listening now might remember that, the enhanced games being a competition of people who are allowed to use performance enhancing drugs.
I'm so glad I shit on it. I don't feel any regret about how I shit on it now that it happened.
And I just wanted to like, If you Google, a lot of people will tell you that it was an absolute disappointment. Some people will tell you that it was hilarious because it was so bad. But I just pulled some numbers. It's very easy to find men's, scores, I guess, or times, but it's harder to find women's.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Though, only one person broke a world record, which is.
That's right.
What the goal was. So, but just
jokes
looking
at, on you, motherfuckers.
Just looking at this list, they would have had to have a lot, like a dozen $1 million to like, if everybody broke a record, I feel like the organization would have definitely gone bankrupt, but only one did. So, I wanted to tell you a couple of the numbers because I believe it was this one. The 100 meter sprint, Usain Bolt has the world record for 9.58 seconds. Mm-hmm. Fred Curley, who we talked about in the episode, came in at 9.97 seconds. And prior to this, he was shitting all over Usain Bolt about how he was going to smash his record.
What a little cunt.
But Fred Curley also came out beforehand and said that he was going to commit, or he was going to compete clean. But he doesn't have the little thing next to him that says non-enhanced, so I don't really know.
Wait, why?
I think he came out and said that so that if he didn't break the record, he would have had an excuse.
What a little bitch.
But Fred Curley was 9.97 seconds. So the world record is 9.58 seconds, and the fastest person at the enhanced games was 0.4 seconds slower, I guess.
Sucks for you, little bitch.
And one of the biggest, I guess, gaps in is now listen, I don't know a damn thing about lifting or power bodying or whatever it's called.
Is anything called power bodying?
But there is an event called Snatch. Let's just move on. The world record is
where everyone just like flashes their waists or something. Like, what the fuck is snatched?
You lift stuff. And the world record is 196 kilograms. And the person who won at the enhanced games could only lift 135 kilograms.
And were they enhanced?
So that's like a huge gap between what, you know, people were expecting. But my favorite goes to, the sort of oddity that I talked about in the episode, which was the guy who wanted to break his own record.
Yeah, did he?
So he was trying to break the world record, his own world record of lifting 510 kilograms, but he was only able to lift 475 kilograms. So even the guy who was trying to break his own record was 35 kilograms off.
Wow.
From actually, but he got paid anyway, so he wins. Everybody wins except the people who ran the business. And that's why Marissa and I are pretty happy about this.
What a bunch of lamers. By the way, I just want to, this happened a little bit ago, but I just want to call out that I laughed like that kid in The Simpsons. It goes, ha ha. And I'm sorry I did that. I didn't mean to do that.
It's okay.
Yeah, I like, did you, have you read? Because I didn't, I just looked up some stats. Have you heard any thoughts from the people behind the games as to whether they thought it was a success, which I'm assuming they're going to say it was, but I mean.
No, mostly the stuff that I saw was, I mean, leading into it, the reporting was people kind of poking fun at it and saying that it was immoral and unethical and all that sort of stuff.
Okay, unethical. Immoral is a little dramatic.
I used the wrong word.
Oh, okay. That would have been funny.
But, so afterwards, most of it is just, well, look how this turned out.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody that I came across anyway, went to the source to try to say, you know, so how do you explain how lame this was?
That's a missed opportunity, but okay. Well, maybe Gothic Beauty Magazine will let me interview them.
They probably didn't want to comment.
Yeah, I imagine.
But, further, Marissa and I were also happy to find out that their stock severely plummeted the day after the game.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love that one.
But a lot of people who, you know what? There were some people who watched it who said that it was just one big infomercial for this business called Enhanced that sells, you know, you can go back to the episode and listen. But basically that was behind the games and sells, I guess you could say performance enhancing drugs, like it's legal to buy them, but it would be illegal to use them in competition. So
got it. Okay.
I just wanted to update everybody on that. So yeah, I don't know if it's still on YouTube or whatever. I didn't bother to watch any of it.
I just forgot it was happening. I don't know. Yeah. Something. I was doing something more interesting.
I think it happened maybe Friday. It took me a couple days to remember that it happened.
Oh, I was coming back from vacation and somebody in families died. So that's why I forgot. Okay.
Icebreaker.
So Marissa, are you ready for an icebreaker?
Yeah.
This is one of those ones where, like, if you asked me this question, you'd be disappointed that I didn't come up with anything creative enough. So keep that in mind as
Why didn't you tell me in advance then?
As I ask you.
Okay.
Whether it be like flying on your own power or driving like a hot rod car or controlling a train or just walking, if there were no limits and you could use any transportation to get places, and don't think like I want to go down the street so I can't take a train down the street. Yes, you can.
Okay.
If you could use any transportation to get places, what would you use? And again, remember, like even a unicorn is on the table.
So let's say I wanted to grow crow wings. Mm-hmm. Am I just like exemplary? Like, am I a very skilled flyer by default?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I'm torn.
Let me just tell you, nobody's going to do it better than you because nobody else has these wings.
Okay. So it would either be, I would have to probably like I would need to like, what's it?
Big jackets and stuff?
No, I was going to say like coordinate with like air traffic control if I would just be flying in the air.
Well, it depends on how high you're flying.
Yeah, that is true. Okay.
Like, I guess some birds do get hit by planes.
But. Yeah. I would say either I grow crow wings. I don't have them always. I just grow them when I want to transport myself somewhere.
When you get somewhere, what happens?
They go into my back.
Okay.
Or.
I thought you would just leave a trail of wings behind you.
I mean, I kind of like that. Or I go everywhere on a first class Amtrak Acela train. Okay. Everywhere. Man, if you, also I want to make it clear, I did not pay. I earned so many points taking economy that I got first class. Don't think I'm bougie like that, guys. But if you ever get a chance, oof, man, I would show up at my destination so drunk. Now, that's not why I want it. I don't drink much anymore. But I'm just saying that wine be flowing as much as you want it to be flowing. And I always got a good meal. So, yep, that's what I want. One of those two.
I do have some nostalgia, probably like misrepresented nostalgia, because I only went on a train ride that was long once, and that was from New Jersey to Florida.
Oh my God.
But.
Was it a sleeper train?
It was overnight.
Did you get like a bed?
No.
Oh.
But most of the people on it were asleep.
Okay, gotcha.
Or we were gassed. I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
I peed my pants. That's how good I slept.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I don't know how old, but okay. I was a child.
Okay.
So, like, I kind of feel like I like a train, too.
God, I love trains.
But, and this may be cheating since I had more time to think about it.
Yeah.
I think I just like to teleport places.
Oh, I forgot that was an option.
Too late. You have wings, freak.
except gotta ask. So I don't know about Star Trek fucking shit, but if we're talking Marvel, what's his name? Nightcrawler.
Mm.
I think.
You want me to leave a fart smell behind?
No, but you know why though, right? Because doesn't he like go to like, maybe not hell, but doesn't he go to like another realm quickly in between? Like some sort of hellish realm? So
like
is that
cloak
part
and
of
cloak and dagger too?
Oh yeah, so is that included?
No.
Okay, you're just really teleporting without going to hell in between. That's fair.
It'll just feel like a little nap.
Okay, that's nice.
And if you're thinking, well, you have to explain how it happens, and the best you could come up with is it happens like The Fly.
Okay.
And there's a possibility that I like get taken apart and put back together in the other pod.
Mm.
I think there are many times that I would roll the dice.
You know what? Don't doubt it. All right.
Which brings us to our topic a bit. Because while Marissa was out gallivanting across Europe, I sent her an article that she couldn't read.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
It was an article about Waymos circling a cul-de-sac outside of Atlanta.
No, I do remember. Okay, sorry. I forgot. I thought maybe you sent me something else that I forgot about. Yes.
No. And the neighborhood was freaked out about how all of these Waymos were basically in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, what I discovered is that unlike you or I, Waymos don't just park when they have no riders. They drive around trying to find high traffic areas that would need their services. So if you had like a busy downtown and you got dropped off like in the suburbs, the Waymo might find its way back to the busy downtown because it's expecting that the next rider might come from there.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But for some reason, these Waymos were like, we want to be in this neighborhood.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Which is enough to freak you out if you live in that neighborhood. In San Antonio, Texas, this past April, an empty Waymo drove into a flooded road and was swept away by the water. And this also happened in Atlanta, which had the, cul-de-sac. And it's a cul-de-sac incident, but it's also a street incident because this is what happened in another neighborhood. A neighbor was tired of the Waymos going up and down the street. So they got one of those like little fluorescent plastic guys that say children at play.
Yeah.
And they put it in the middle of the street so that any normal human would be able to drive around it and get to their place. But when a Waymo saw it, it was like, uh-oh, we can't go this way anymore.
Love it.
So it would stop, but it was a neighborhood street. So it would have to do like a three-point turn to turn around and go back, except it couldn't do it easily because there were four Waymos behind it.
Oh, my God.
There were like five Waymos that were just stuck in a line on this residential street, and they were, projecting onto them, but they were totally confused, it seemed.
Of course they were.
One resident is quoted as saying that there were 50 cars within 1 hour, which I frankly do not believe.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But the 5 to 7 that I could see in one video is more than enough to freak me out.
Yeah.
Mostly because Waymos don't have any, like, differentiating features. They're all white cars. And identical things, multiple identical things kind of frighten me a little bit.
I don't even like seeing a Waymo. I saw one in Philly last I was in Philly, and I hated it. So that's enough.
In Austin, Texas, recently, these are all this year, too. A Waymo stopped at railroad tracks because that's what you're supposed to do. But unfortunately, it stopped at the railroad tracks, not the arm where you're supposed to stop that comes down.
What the? That's terrifying.
Yeah. So if the train was a little bit wider, it would have taken off the front of the Waymo.
See, like, I gotta say, sure, like, that's exciting if people are working on self-driving cars that people are in. Like, so they can manually override it if it's doing something stupid. But I think it's pure foolishness to think we're at a point where Waymo should be driving anyone. And I didn't think Waymos were even at the point where they were driving anyone. But my husband's brother loves to take a Waymo.
Good. And I want to hear some of his opinions a little later.
Okay.
This same month, a Waymo, I think this was in Los Angeles, blocked an ambulance that was trying to get to the scene of a mass shooting.
Was there someone in it? Because if not, the ambulance should have just destroyed it.
No, I don't think there was, but
yeah.
But even if there was, the person in it can't really do anything except push a button, hope that somebody answers and says, there's an ambulance behind me and there's a bunch of dead bodies in front of me. Could you please get this car out of the way?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. If there wasn't someone in it, you should have a right to just fucking just annihilate a Waymo if something more important is happening, as long as there's no one in it.
I don't know if the ambulance should really be like the best road tool to do that.
Yeah, I guess, but whatever.
Because the function of the ambulance is to get the patient back to the hospital.
So. Oh, I guess I assume they weren't at the patient yet.
No, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Which is kind of worse.
Yeah, okay.
There's also a tale of a Waymo that killed a cat in San Francisco.
Ah, fuck that. What? No. If it killed a person, would we still keep it going? Like, what, fuck? I hate it.
Now, there's also this story from the New York Times, and it's good because it's kind of relates to what you were saying. Where were you walking and you saw a Waymo and you got mad?
Downtown Philadelphia.
See, and Philadelphia is, I think, where something like this would happen. In January, Doug Fulop? I'm going to call him Fulop.
Okay.
Doug Fulop was riding home from a night out in San Francisco when a man crossed the street in front of his car. The man doubled back and began screaming at Doug, who's inside of the Waymo. The man then punched the car's windows and kept lifting up the vehicle. Then he yelled that he wanted to kill Mr. Fulop and the two other passengers for giving their money to a robot.
What the fuck? Self-driving, this would definitely happen in Philly, for the record.
Self-driving cars are designed to stop moving if a person is nearby on its sensors.
Yeah.
People could take advantage of that function to harass and threaten the passengers.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In 2024, a San Francisco man tried covering the sensors of a self-driving car that had stopped effectively disabling it while passengers were inside of the car.
What the fuck? To what end?
Yeah. That's a good question. Another video from 2024 shows three women screaming as a group of vandals tagged their autonomous taxi with spray paint.
I mean, as long as we're still driving, I wouldn't give a shit.
Well, that's the thing. They stopped.
Yeah. What was I imagining? That they were running while spray painting? Yes. I don't even know what I was imagining.
No, it was just 100 vandals in a line, each one holding a spray can.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm an idiot.
So why do these Waymos and whatever you want to call them, autonomous taxi is the best thing to call it. But why do these exist if people don't really like them? And my answer would be that some people do like them, like Aaron's brother.
I don't even remember his reasons, but he liked it. Like he wouldn't back down. He was like, they're great. They're great. So what? They're great. I love it. They're great. I don't have to talk to anyone. They're great. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what? I just couldn't. I literally cannot see a case for them.
That seems to be, and of course it reminded me of our friend Garfield, who we had on the show, rideshare driver Garfield.
Oh, okay.
Who, you know, like this would put Garfield out of a job.
I don't even know if Garfield likes doing this job.
He's doing it because he has to.
Yeah.
So some people are enjoying them, but I wanted to put a couple more inflammatory cases in front of you for us to discuss. From Slow Boring, which looks like it's just a Substack that's out there in the world. But there's a very long and researched piece that slips into lots of different opinions. It's titled, This Mother's Day, Let Moms Have Waymo.
What?
And within it, well, I'm going to read a lot of it.
I cannot even imagine where this is going.
Selections, anyway. Okay. Very few moms feel comfortable letting a random Uber driver bring their child to school or their after-school activities. But a self-driving car is a different proposition.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Do you fuckers know? And I'm not to say that men are the only predators, but you can just fucking get a Lyft or an Uber that you specifically will only accept women drivers, if that makes you feel better. Like,
why they had like a kid friendly sort of option too.
Oh yeah, there is like Uber Teen where you could track them easily. There might even be a kid one too, but I'm like, there's so many different ways you could do it. You could do it where it's just a woman, you do it where you track them 100%. There's a billion ways. This makes no fucking sense. Whoever does this should be CPS.
Schools drop-off lines can be supervised to securely bring children from Waymo's into the building. And similar systems could be set up at recreation centers, after-school programs, tutoring centers, and other venues that cater to children. For some families, that saves 10-plus hours a week of driving.
I'm sorry, motherfuckers. What the fuck happened to buses? I have to say this. I'm sorry. I will stop. I know you're in the middle of saying this. But, you know, I still don't know if I'm going to have a kid. But one of the main reasons why I'm like, I don't know if I want a kid, is because do buses not fucking exist anymore? Because it's
school buses, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Like all anyone does anymore is drive their kid all over the place constantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are they just like neurotic and like they just think everyone's out to steal their child? Or are there no school buses anymore? Because what the fuck? I hate this. I hate this so much.
The benefits aren't limited to parents of school-aged children either, Marissa. Starting in infancy or even pregnancy, Waymo could save time on grocery shopping by picking up goods from supermarkets and bringing them to a mom who can't leave the house.
Bitch, you could just order groceries delivered. I don't drive. I get all my groceries delivered.
I think it's probably better for a mom to try to leave the house, too.
Yeah, actually, that's very fair. Yes. Also, like, you know, single moms exist, but like half the time they have someone that had a baby with them.
Yeah, or even in the case of a single mother. Like my mom had friends who would, you know, when I was a sick kid and she was kind of stuck at home keeping an eye on me. She had friends who would come by and bring food or bring meals or whatever, you know?
Yeah, God, what the fuck?
But then,
what the fuck?
Buckle up, Marissa, because then there's this subheading. Waymo is a feminist issue.
I'm not going to respond until I hear what you're saying, and I hate it, but I'm not going to respond until I hear more.
Women. Oh boy, Marissa, hold on.
Holy fuck.
It's going to be hard. So you just chime in when you hit the top. Women more often than not.
Who wrote this article? A man or a woman?
A woman.
I know you can't know, but
It was a woman. Yes.
Okay.
Or at least a presenting woman.
Okay.
Women more often than not end up taking care of elderly parents. Waymo can make a big difference there as well, allowing the elderly to keep their independence longer. That means fewer tasks for adult daughters, taking mom to run errands, taking dad to doctor's appointments, and fewer difficult emotional conversations about taking the car keys away. Men, of course, love their parents and take care of them in old age too, but this would be a benefit. This would be a benefit that disproportionately helps women. And I'm like, what?
What the fuck? That reminds me of, I started to see some slight changes, thank God. But like, I used to like want to throw something at a wall every time I saw like a dish detergent ad, and it would be like, guess what, mom? This will cut your washing time in half. And I'm like, do fucking only women fucking wash fucking dishes? Why is this such a gender ad? Like, I fucking hate shit like that. Just say like, this will help caretakers. That doesn't make it a feminist thing, by the way, bitch. Nice corporate speak, you fucking corporate shill, whoever the fuck wrote that. But also, I'm sorry, motherfucker. An elderly person could just use Ubers. Try and paint me a picture of how specifically a Waymo versus an Uber is better. Because you think your fucking elderly parent is going to be okay when a fucking Waymo starts, like, skitzing out?
Or, to be kind of crass about it, is the Waymo going to know what to do when your elderly parents start skitzing out?
Yeah. There's a lot of.
Where am I? What is this thing?
Also,
where am I going?
This is a very important piece of information to everyone out there. If you don't drive, your doctors and hospitals will probably offer you transportation that your insurance will cover. Almost nobody realizes that, I learned recently. So stop letting corporations make you think that Waymos are the answer.
On the security front, there's already some understanding that a partnership between feminism and self, I think the
What
problem is
the?
this
Stop
person,
saying feminism.
I think this person doesn't know what feminism means.
Nope, 100% not. I want to know how old this person is. I want to know what their political leanings are. I want to know everything about this person because I want to punch him in the fucking face.
I will say that better for your perspective on the world at large, Marissa, this is not a common thing that I'm seeing in a lot of places.
That people are climbing Waymo's feminist.
Yeah. But the reason that I picked this article is because of the logic leaps that it takes. I just
Oh,
find it
yeah.
fascinating when, because with the length of this article and the age of the person who wrote it and edited it, you can tell that this person hit the end of this and was like, I did it. Like, nailed it.
I don't have the arguments and I'm not going to go on a tangent, but I will just say that this article reminds me of, I was listening to a podcast and they were reading excerpts from an article arguing why AI should be allowed in political commercials for campaigns. And the arguments, like, we're so loose, we're such leaps, and we're like so psychotic. So yeah, how do these people sleep at night? Anyway, continue.
On the security front, there's already some understanding that a partnership between feminism and self-driving cars is a quote-unquote thing. NBC
What even a
News
quote unquote thing? What?
interviewed several women out of how many in the world
Yeah, I'm sorry, what, you interviewed three that you know personally?
who said they feel safer taking a driverless car, citing the risk of harassment or assault by overwhelmingly male cab drivers.
Again, everyone, I live in the suburbs and, like, not like a well-populated suburb. I live nowhere near a city, and I took an Uber today and I was able to get a female-driven Uber. So you guys, like, don't listen to this. Don't listen to this at all. It's so easy to find alternatives even if you don't drive.
I went to college in Italy and New York, and on a night out with my friends, I would have certainly preferred to be alone with each other than joined by a man we didn't know.
Why are you assuming everyone's a man? Why are you saying cabs are the only options? Why are you acting like a robot isn't also, like, I know they're not gonna be eavesdropping on you, but I mean,
Yeah, who do you think's listening on the other side? A man.
like, there's still, like, someone involved. What is this person? This person, I want to make this clear. The person who wrote this article drives and only drives their own car. They don't take rideshare at all, at all.
Note, this is a kind of different portion of the article. Notably, many of the cities, I thought this was interesting for you, Marissa.
Okay.
Notably, many of the cities most resistant to this technology are also places that have male gender equality a major policy priority. Washington, D.C., for example, in 2018 passed the Birth to Three for All D.C. Act to provide affordable childcare, and its Universal Paid Leave Amendment Act provides up to 2 weeks to care for pregnancy and 12 weeks to bond with a new child. Yet
Great.
that same city also delayed the rollout of Waymo over long-stalled safety reviews
What?
that were originally due back in 2022. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. This person is see pumpkin and see zebra? Aren't they the same?
Wait, I might have actually misunderstood something because what you said actually makes no sense if I understood it correctly. So I don't get the correlation, but also, did you say something about male rights? What did you say?
She says, places that these cities have male gender. Oh, that was me. I misread maid.
Wait, what?
The word is maid, but I saw it as male.
Oh, wait. So can you read that sentence again?
I can't read or write, guys. This whole entire show is AI. Notably, many of the cities most resistant to this technology are also places that have made gender equality a major policy priority.
Oh, okay.
Because evidently, the policy priority of gender equality is the same as Waymo accessibility.
You're such an idiot. I'm not the leading authority on feminism, but I don't think you should even be allowed to call yourself that if you do, lady. Or you're not a feminist, but you looked what it is and you're like, ooh, this article's gonna, the feminists are gonna eat it up.
Yeah, it's almost like you learned about it through osmosis. You saw it in some headlines and you were like, I think I have an idea of what that is. It's women being able to, and this is where we're going to kind of get into a little question about what feminism is, because I'm always on a quest to figure it out.
Okay.
So this article does bring up a point that Marissa has had to struggle with in her life. Is driving a car feminist, or is being driven more feminist?
Oh, yeah. Guys, if you don't, that wasn't even a joke. I don't know if you heard me announce it before that. My family, all my extended women in my family, not my mother, because my mother's a lovely lady who also doesn't drive much. My aunts all said I wasn't a feminist because I don't drive. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I have a license. I choose not to drive because I drive poorly. So, I guess my choice to not drive poorly and get in more accidents makes me not a feminist, makes me a men's rights activist.
So only one Canadian woman wrote a story about not driving being more feminist than driving.
Why does one need to be more right. than the other? Why?
It's only like one article.
I don't like anyone. I don't like either one of those because I think the feminist thing would be to just do whatever works for you. And I don't think one is more feminist than the other.
Only one person ever wrote about this, and it was in 2019.
Good. May the no world... one ever write about this again forever.
They were Canadian, too. I don't remember if I said that, but...
Yeah, but I got too riled up, and I confused us all. Sorry.
The whole story was a winding and pointless reflection on concepts of men driving her places. Who owns the car versus who drives the car, and her exhilaration at riding a sports car driven by a surgeon in what? England, and how she came in the car.
Also, like, does she own the car? Did she buy a car so that buff men could drive her around?
Or, no, like, but she lives in a city with a lot of people who don't like to drive, but she actually owns a car. And sometimes when she and her friends get together, she lets other people drive her around.
And that's feminist how.
So there's more nuance to the topic of whether driving...
I'm not calling it anti-feminist, but I'm also not calling it feminist yeah. specifically in sometimes, any way.
Sometimes you get just like, are gummy worms feminist? It's like, no, they're not on the spectrum.
What the fuck?
So there's a little bit more nuance to the topic of whether driving is feminist. And I feel like the risk in the feminist label is that I think a lot of people, I hate to say it this way, but I think a lot of people who take that sort of surface level definition, like I'm looking at the word and if I pull it apart, I think it means this.
Yeah.
The risk with that is that I feel like a lot of those people think, well, if a woman gets to act like a man, then she's being feminist or she's being liberated in some way because she's sort of like rising to this privilege that men have.
100%, yeah.
The old example being, if a man shamelessly sleeps with several women a week, that's quote-unquote cool, even though it's not. But if a woman does the same thing, she's called a hoe. That's right. I went with the pleasant one. She's a hoe.
Yeah.
So some people say, let's normalize it so that all genders can sleep with several people a week, instead of going, let's revisit the significance of sex in our society.
Yeah.
And there are millions of us who can't sleep with several people a week in the first place, even if we wanted to. So, like, arguing about that is kind of a moot point for many of us.
Yeah. Are you implying that that's not an option for you, Pete? I think you need to look around.
There are many toothless women outside. So there are more insightful pieces out there about women being liberated by being allowed to drive in the Middle East, or immigrant women fighting to get a license and having the freedom to drive.
Well, yeah, having the right to drive and the freedom to drive is totally different than you having to drive in order to be considered a feminist.
There are also some about women finding control over their lives by being behind the wheel after escaping an abusive relationship where they were, you know, controlled in some way.
Totally.
For all of those women in all of those situations, driving represents something significant. But for a lot of people, driving is kind of a pain in the ass.
For me, driving is the worst thing I could ever have to do in my whole fucking life.
I had two exes who liked to drive, and I loved being a passenger instead of driving.
Yeah.
For me, and I think for most people, though I'm not going to say everybody because some people enjoy driving, but for me, driving is a means to an end. I have to get somewhere to either get something or do something I have to do or see people that I love. And driving is the thing that gets me there.
Yeah.
But if somebody else could do it for me, that's cool.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And so when driving becomes something that's expected of you, Marissa, mm-hmm. a milestone put on you by your peers and your family members, a test that you have to pass, it probably feels more like an obligation than a privilege. And 100%. In that case, is having the freedom and autonomy to say yes or no actually the liberation?
Yes. I wish I had, if I had known this was your topic, I would have brought something up. I don't have it in front of me, but I follow this really great independent journalist on Substack named, the fuck is his name? Ken Klippenstein. And all I know is, I forgot what company said it, but you know how, like, basically this country has almost no public transit options outside of cities. And basically, some C-suite exec from an energy company was saying that if people were hurting because of gas prices, they should just find ways to drive less. And I'm like, you fucking kidding me, you fuckers? Like, how? Like, what are you even? So, yeah, I just, driving in this country just makes you want to kill everyone.
Well, you could bike out of your food desert to the next town over.
Yeah, I guess. You could take a hoverboard. You could take a Segway. I don't know.
Yeah. But regardless of gender, Marissa, a 2025 study by Insurify Car Insurance found that while 93% of Gen Z drivers find driving stressful and 68% report some texting-related distracted driving behavior, nearly two-thirds of them are not ready to let technology take the wheel. So Garfield is safe.
Yeah. If I told you this already, let me know. And you would think, like, if I said it at the start of the episode, I'd remember. But I also was talking about this to someone in an audio memo right before. So I forget if I told the show or someone else. Did I tell you that I signed up for driving lessons? Did we discuss this?
No.
I don't want to, but I did. Anyway, but that said, my husband. You want to guess what my husband has been saying we should do?
Go on a road trip?
No. My husband is like, what?
Does he want you to race?
No. He wants me to consider a self-driving Tesla.
I do remember that from years ago.
Yep, he's bringing it up again because one of his coworkers said that, their father drove from Pennsylvania to Florida and only put their hand on the wheel one time. And I was like, yeah, okay. Let's talk about this later. I thankfully, to procrastinate, I paid extra money so that I have to take 30 hours of online instruction before I take the driving lessons. So I don't think I'm driving for a long time. Anyway, continue. I just wanted to tell you that my husband is like, let's get you a self-driving car.
Yeah, then what do I need a license for?
Yeah, well, I guess because you still need to be on the ready.
Yeah, because you would be sitting behind the wheel.
Yeah. Not a self-driving car where I sit in the back. I don't even
think to me, it's like, well, what the hell's the point then? If I still have to be alert and know that I have to pick up, like, that I have to grab the wheel at any time.
See, that's how I feel. Because the thing is, I get anxious about driving because I get anxious if there's, like, a new traffic pattern I've never had been on before, or I'm lost. So I feel like if the car started fucking up, I would be too anxious to fix it. So, like, I think I lose either way. But basically, full disclosure, I'm not rolling in dough, so my husband would have to help me pay the car insurance. And I think he just, I said, yo, you want me to learn? Well, he didn't say I have to learn how to drive, but like, he's like, you should. I was like, yo, you're going to have to help me pay for insurance. I drive real bad. So I think he is just trying to make sure we don't just constantly have to pay for a whole bunch of money from accidents. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I don't fault him, though I am looking into options that aren't Teslas.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
No. There is an oft-cited Washington Post article that basically says the same thing, that Gen Z people don't want to drive anymore. Though it feels like the reporter – now, I don't know if you were like this, Marissa. When I wrote for the college newspaper when I was in school, I just turned to the people around me and asked them for quotes.
Oh.
I didn't seek out strangers to try to get quotes from my articles. I'd be like, hey, roommate, what do you think about this?
I would in college, but I will say in high school I used to do that. And then I would get it circled and the teacher who was in charge of my high school paper would go, I know you know that person. Nope, you got to do it again. And I was like, damn, this lady's serious.
Yeah, I would sometimes get, you quoted this person last week. So it feels like this reporter did that. They just like called some of their Gen Z friends. Otherwise, how do you find a bunch of Gen Z kids that want to partake in this? I don't know.
You go on. No, I was going to say Minecraft. That's how you find a Gen A.
You go Gen on Alpha. TikTok.
Yeah, you go on TikTok and you put
do a dance while you ask the question and hope that people respond.
Yes, 100%.
She says that people have more options now, like e-bikes, scooters, ride shares, and more. Marissa, did you use any of that stuff when you were in the city?
Just ride share, not e-bikes or scooters. I find e-bikes scary. I find both of those scary.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, also, like, you have to have... Well, that's a whole thing that I won't get into, but it's like... Stuff like that. Didn't we have a whole conversation actually on the show about how it's unclear if they're street legal or if you do them on the side? Like, you don't, where are you supposed to drive them? In the street or on the sidewalk? Because it's kind of like a risk either way.
And you have to be I don't think a cop is going to pull you over and say, do you have a license to drive that e-bike?
Yeah, because anyone could do it and they could be fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Like you should, I feel like you should have to take a test to do any sort of driving of anything that you're doing outside of your house. Mm-hmm. But of course, what do I know?
So this lady is basically saying that driving is not as important as it once was. They have a very confusing chart that goes along with this article that indicates...
Shut up, bitch. Right. You know, you're delusional. I have tried to not drive in every avenue in my life. You're fucking delusional.
One of the,
what an idiot.
One of the things that she kind of puts out there is like, for Gen Z, you don't have to hang out with your friends in person. So you don't have to drive to their house to hang out with them. You can just hang out online.
And it's that's not like destroying our society at all. That person is clearly not Gen Z. They clearly either drive their own car, so don't know, or live in the city. And they are definitely not a feminist themselves.
Well, this one's not that same article.
Oh, I got confused. Okay.
Yeah, this one more focused on the generational thing.
Is this the Canadian person?
No, this is a totally different one from somebody on the West Coast. Who writes for the Washington Post.
No, none of these people know. Because people on the West Coast don't have that much public transit either. No, fuck all these people.
In a very confusing chart, like I said, they indicated that from 1997 to 2020, 16-year-olds with driver's license dipped 18%. Mm. meaning that 18% fewer 16-year-olds are driving. And it's kind of consistent across 17 and 18 years old too.
Okay.
Boomers, though, are driving much longer, with a 16% increase in drivers with a license that are over the age of 85.
Whoa.
My mom's friend is dating a man who's 90 years old, and she goes, he's a good driver.
Holy shit. See, my father, what is he? He's 77. And he said, I gave it a few years and then I'm retiring. So that's why I was like, maybe I should learn how to drive so my father could chill out. But I'm trying to teach him how to use Ubers. And I'm trying to teach him how to, like, tell the hospital, can you get me? But they refuse that because they think that the fact that they have a car in their driveway, that the hospital will go, we saw your car. No way.
They are delightfully stubborn people as well.
Yeah. So yeah, that's fascinating. Actually, I volunteer somewhere that I would say almost every single person I work with seems to be between 75 and 85. Mm-hmm. There are a few people in their 60s, maybe, but I'm the only one in that whole building that doesn't drive, and everyone seems so surprised I don't drive. I'm like, I'm the little kid who doesn't drive, who takes Ubers, and I'm like, how do you all drive?
So in their mind, they're probably 40, and you're 12.
Yes, basically, 100%.
Many Gen Zers are also scared of car accidents too.
Which is valid. You know what? I just want to say this. Like, I'm sure a whole bunch of people probably did not listen to our show, but if they heard this, they would be like, oh, Gen Z, oh, they're such fucking babies. I think this is good. Not good. This is not, they should not be crippled by it. Like, I would not want them to be crippled by it. I wish I wasn't as afraid of driving, but like, that's a natural thing to be concerned about. And maybe we should look at our society and how it's not meeting the needs of our people rather than being like, they're not learning to drive. I'm sorry. I hated myself as I did that.
They referenced this girl who in high school had a couple of classmates die in car accidents. I feel like every classroom, every high school has, though.
Yeah.
Sorry. And the article says, quote, those memories loomed over her whenever she was behind the wheel. Okay. And she said, when I was learning with my parents, a lot of times I would end up crying because I was so stressed out.
Aww.
So if they're scared, we should probably just let them do whatever they want, right? Like, we can't push people to overcome their fears. That is not a healthy thing to do.
Yeah.
Waymo has recalled thousands of robo-taxis by now and paused their expansion. They also suspended use on U.S. freeways because Waymos don't know how to behave in compromising construction situations where signs and procedures aren't always clear to human beings who are trying to drive through them properly.
Yeah, actually, that was something I was thinking about, too. My husband was like, oh, let's get you a self-driving car. I would say one of the scariest things about where I live is that I live in a suburb, but you have to get on the highway to go like the next town over, and there is always construction. And I don't even know.
That does suck about where you live.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm in the passenger seat and I'm looking and I don't even know what you're supposed to do. And
right.
If my fucking self-driving car didn't know what to do, I also wouldn't know what to do. So like, fuck, we're so far. But of course, yeah, let's just get more AI. Let's not ever think about public transit ever.
Well, I feel like we're kind of at a point today where, just as an example, we're all so used to using a microwave that if all the microwaves were recalled for some reason, we might not know what to do. Or even if your microwave, like the power went, okay, the power can't go out for this example, but like your microwave breaks and you're like, well, I need to heat up food from the restaurant that I ate at yesterday. And I don't know how to do that. You're like, I have an oven, but I don't really remember what temperature it should be on, how long it should be in there. To me, not driving, to your point, Marissa, is going to put you in a situation where when it becomes essential for you to do that, you're going to be like, do I remember how to do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
So would all roads be safer if all the cars were self-driving? Probably. Yeah. Because I feel like they would all know how to work with one another, you know, just like people do. And the same way, like, papers are easier to write if AI does it for you. Mm-hmm. And they're also easier to grade if AI does that for you.
Yeah.
The same way news means nothing if we can't decipher what's true anymore. All of that stuff, despite the doom, I encourage you to hug someone that you love today, because yeah, it's the best you can do against self-driving cars.
Yeah, I know.
Now, there were a couple of extra things that I learned along the way. Waymos, Marissa, I did not know this, are made by Jaguar.
Whoa, I did not know that. I didn't even know that existed anymore.
And they are, of course, run by Google's parent company, Alphabet.
Okay.
GM, General Motors, invested in a self-driving car company. Or I guess company is not the right word, but like, I guess initiative. Mm-hmm. But they pulled support. That was called Cruise. They pulled support in 2024 just because things were not going well.
Yeah, there's no surprise.
Amazon has a thing called a Zooks. Z-O-O-X. Marissa, first of all, I think Josh Gad should be their spokesman.
I like that a lot.
They're also in Vegas right now. I would love it, Marissa, if you could Google Zooks while I tell the people. They are a box. They're like a boxy vehicle. It's like getting into a small room that has seats that face each other like an old-timey carriage.
Wait a second. Does this exist in other countries?
There are some self-driving cars in other countries that I didn't really hit on. Companies, I should say, that I didn't really hit on. But yeah, I think there are probably similar ones.
I think I saw something similar, maybe not in this country, but that looks really weird.
It looks like a toy.
Yeah, it looks like it'd be a friend of Thomas.
Yeah.
The Tank Engine.
Tesla's initiative is called Robotaxi because Elon Musk has the creativity of a little boy in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And they are basically taking over Texas. They're in Austin, Dallas, and Houston. Across these three cities, however, they have amassed a significant fleet of 42 vehicles.
You know, I just wish so bad. So when I heard self-driving cars were kind of coming, again, with people behind them, not fully autonomous, I was like, awesome. And I thought, like, oh, maybe people are going to put all their efforts into it. So I hate to know that everyone's efforts are being diluted because Elon Musk is then trying to make fully autonomous without people. Then he's trying to make robots. Then he's trying, like, just make one thing good, because Tesla notoriously, like, has recalls on 1,000 things. So, why don't you just focus on making one thing that doesn't suck and then move on?
It's not as good of a legacy.
Yeah, whatever.
But you're absolutely right, because nobody thinks of the other things that, like, Ford did. You're like, no, Ford, the car.
What like, did? They did other things of note? What else did they do?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But it's a significant enough legacy to leave behind. We don't need to be like, oh, look at Ford, the car, and Ford, the airplane, and Ford, the building.
No, just do one thing fucking good, and then, like, that'd be enough. If Tesla put so much effort and they were the leading self-driving car, then maybe more people would have self-driving cars. Mm-hmm. I just fucking hate everything.
Guys, don't listen to Marissa. Get out there, get on your grind set, you know, do as much as you can poorly.
Okay. All right.
But if there are 42 vehicles in these three towns, that means he only has 14 vehicles in, like, Austin or Dallas, which is nothing compared to the amount of Waymos that are out there. There's like 14 on that one street in Atlanta.
Like, also just like, poor taxi drivers. That's all I gotta say. Like, it's like they're not even in the conversation anymore.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, again, there are probably a lot of people out there. I keep exaggerating, but there are probably some people out there who do enjoy driving, who would be like, I could spend my whole day in a taxi because, I like talking to the people. Driving yeah. doesn't stress me out as much as it might, you know, your run of the mill person. And yeah. that's great. But to your point, you're saying like, this person has a set of skills that are helpful for other people in the world.
Yeah.
And you're taking that away from them.
Yeah, exactly. The same way AI has taken away all of my jobs.
Don't even get me started on the self-checkout, Marissa.
I heard that they're starting to roll those back, though, in a yeah. lot of places. So
I only go to the self-checkout if the line at the human being is super, super long.
Yeah, same here, actually. I've started avoiding them as well.
Because I'm not trying to steal anything, but I have reusable bags, and apparently they're too heavy for the sensor.
Oh.
Anyway, guys, that's a little bit about what's going on in the world of autonomous driving. Marissa, if you had to name a self-driving car company, what would you call it?
Poo Poo.
I like it.
Okay, thank you. You?
Doo-doo.
Okay, cool. And they would look like zoomies or whatever the fuck. They'd look like zuzus. What are the fuck?
No, and then when we expand to like bigger vehicles, we can call them duties.
Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
No. Maybe we'll start with like a regular sedan and that'll be a doo-doo.
Okay.
But then people want something smaller to travel in and we'll call those duties.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Plugs.
So, is this when we do plugs?
It is, Marissa. What do you got to plug? Anything fun?
Speaking of doo-doo. My husband thinks that Backrooms is the worst movie he's ever seen. But I would say, maybe tied with Michael, best of 2026 so far. And I would say maybe one of my favorite horror, like top 10 favorite horror films.
When people say Michael, I still keep thinking of the John Travolta Angel movie.
No.
And until you finished that sentence, I thought that that's what you were talking about.
That would have been ridiculous. I feel like I did see Michael, but I don't remember it, that one. But Backrooms is fantastic. However, I will say Pete didn't like it either.
There are many times where I cannot understand. If you guys recall, at the beginning of the year, Aaron was a guest on the show with Marissa, and all of his opinions seemed unpopular. Actually, they seemed popular, but against how Marissa and I felt about those things. So you might recall that he was very pro AI, and Marissa and I were like, oh, what is he thinking?
Yeah.
And in this one, when she told me that he hated the movie, I was like, I didn't hate the movie, but I'm much closer to his perspective than Marissa's. Because I thought Marissa might watch it and go, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. But for her to come away and say that it was awesome, I was just like, I'm very open to the possibility that I missed something. So
I will just say this because I don't want to give it anyway, but also two things. I don't know how much it have, like, I'm truly too much into liminal space. And by the way, I've never seen the YouTube, if you're familiar with this Backrooms, I've never seen Caden Parsons' YouTube series. But I am interested in liminal space stuff separately. So I don't know what this movie seems like to someone who's not into liminal space. And I will also say that I think, even though you and me, Pete, we both talked about some themes we saw, I personally think that there is no one specific way people are supposed to interpret the movie.
Right.
And
I think for a 20-year-old to do that is bullshit.
I know that. I try not to think about the director because then it makes me like, yeah, I try not to think about the director. But
because I feel like that's just so, like, if a kid wrote a story in my class and it had no point to it, they could be like, well, did you see Backrooms?
Well, the thing is this, though. The reason why I like that, I usually don't like stuff like that. Liminal space is very dear to me, not just because I watched some TikTok videos, is because after I figured out liminal space was, I found out about it on like TikTok, whatever. And then I read a book recently called House of Leaves. I realized I've been having, I swear, recurring dreams of things that looked like back rooms before I even knew what liminal space was. So now I'm just like obsessed with it in a creepy way. But I feel like there is no real explanation for like why it creeps people out and stuff. So I feel like if there was one clear interpretation, it actually would have ruined the movie. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think liminal space is something you can easily like define. So my point is, I might just be nerding out about the concept, and maybe that's why like I love the movie so much. Also, you could just take me out of my life, put me in the back rooms minus evil entities. I'd be happy forever. I would be so happy forever. So maybe it's just something very I'm personally obsessed with. But I will say, though, not to put my husband on blast, but I do need to let everyone know. My husband said, which if you're not familiar, it's supposed to take place, I think, like in the 90s, maybe. And it's partially found footage. And my, or like someone in a video camera, yeah. And my husband was like, I hated this B movie. It's so low budget. And I was like, do you know what a found footage movie is? And he goes, I don't know, but it was low budget.
That's the unfortunate part, that it's cost so much money to look low budget.
I know. Anyway, I know you said you didn't have any plugs. Have you thought of any, or should we just move on?
In the realm of movies, if you are a patron, you can join our Patreon for $1 or $2 or $5 or $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. I ruined the movie The Bride for the month of May. So let's see what comes up for June. If you have any movies you'd like me to try and ruin for you, please let me know. On the very edge of the plate is the drama. I don't want to touch it, but if I have to, I will.
Okay. Well, guys, please call us at 570-POD-WAD-1 if you have any recommendations for Pete or just for shows or for anything. You can email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
You can check us out on Patreon, which I think he just said, but I'll tell you again, patreon.com/y'allheard. Or you can slide into my DMs at wristthandle anytime you'd like for non-sexual purposes. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.